Hello and welcome into Red Hawk Rewind. I'm Tim Carey.
And I'm Dave Meyer.
Exciting day today. We've got Emily Yatarevich here. We're going to talk to her about a lot of different things, but one of them is a celebrity encounter story that you may not believe unless you actually listen to the end to hear. So there's the teaser. I don't know if you have a good celebrity encounter story. Like, I remember once flying through the Orlando airport and all of a sudden, like, there's a 7-foot giant of a man. Like, oh, that's Shaquille O'Neal standing in my terminal. Like, do you have something like that? Because we're not going to top hers.
Wait, so Shaq was in the terminal?
In
with
the
you?
Airport, yeah.
Why? The dude's flying commercial?
I assume so, unless he was, like, trying to buy the airport. I don't know.
I mean, for me, our job, right, we work with cool announcers like Mike Tirico or, you know, guys that, I mean, they're all over the place, right? So, I mean, I've run into them, but I honestly, like, I've never just been walking through the airport and seen Shaquille O'Neal or anything like that.
Or you did and you just didn't realize it because it was somebody that was like 6'2 and not 7'2. I don't
that
know.
Could
but
be.
That's the teaser. Make sure you stay tuned for that. We'll be right back with Emily. And welcome back to Red Hawk Rewind. We're joined by our special guest, Emily Yatarevich, a senior pole vaulter on the track and field team. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Emily, I don't know if you realize, like, I have been excited for this all day. I just tell everybody first what you do here, your sport, your event that you compete in.
The one I just said.
Did you?
Yeah, I just, okay.
Oh.
He Emily, doesn't me, actually listen
Emily,
to me
let me
very
tell
often.
You.
But
when Tim talks, you'll get used to it. You just tune him out. But, okay, fine.
And I know that he does that, but I was not going to let him get away with it. So anyway, please say what I just said.
Again, yeah.
Well, I'm Emily. I'm a senior here, and I'm a pole vaulter on the track team.
Okay, Tim, if you want to just, like, put your feet up on the desk, I have a lot of questions.
go right ahead.
A pole vault? Like, okay, how do you even figure that you're, hey, I'm good at this pole vaulting?
Yeah.
How does that even start?
So I started gymnastics when I was 3 years old, and I did it all the way till I was 18, till I graduated high school. And somewhere along the way in middle school, I have two older sisters, and, you know, they told the high school coach, my younger sister does gymnastics. You know, she's thinking about trying pole vault. You should tell her to come to our high school practices. And there's, like, one meet in middle school where you have a where there's pole vault. And so I had the high school coach reach out to me, and he's like, we want to get you trying pole vault. And so I started in seventh grade. And so it basically had to do with my sisters and gymnastics and stuff. And they kind of go for the gymnasts, like, when they're trying to find pole vaulters. And so, yeah, I started then in seventh grade. And I had to balance, you know, both gymnastics and pole vault. And, you know, I always thought it was just going to be gymnastics, and that's what I was going to do after high school and into college and stuff. But then there was that, like, flip, I think, like, sophomore, junior year of high school, where I was like, no, you know, I like pole vault, and I want to stick with this.
You notice all the gymnastic words in there? You talk about balance, talk about flip, like, you're just kind of word after word. What's day one like as a middle schooler walking into and, like, hey, I'm trying pole vault?
Yeah. I don't even really remember. And I remember I got some of my friends to do it with me. So we were all, it was just funny. Like, you're all just like, I'm running with a stick towards a hole with a mat in the back and just hoping for the best. And I remember, like, you're supposed to jump off one leg. And I remember, like, the first time I'm jumping off, like, two legs, and my feet are getting, like, caught between the pole. I'm like, how am I supposed to do this? But I have really good coaches, and the gymnastics background definitely helped. And just having, you know, one of my older sisters, like, did it for a minute. So I'd kind of seen her. Yeah, it was weird. And, you know, you have to decide, am I going to be a righty or a lefty? And I was like, well, they both feel comfortable. I don't know. And so, you know, in gymnastics, I twist this way. So I was like, well, I might as well, when I pole vault, then twist that way too. So I'm actually a lefty, which is rare. You're usually a righty when you pole vault. So,
are there any ambidextrous pole vaulters where people go up, like, switch hitters in baseball, and then just, like, I'm just going to do it different ways, different times?
Yeah, so that's probably what I looked like in the beginning.
You're a gymnast. And I guess what kind of skill sets did gymnasts bring where that it fits into the pole vaulting?
Yeah, so with pole vault, you have to have a lot of upper body strength. And I think with gymnastics, that it gave me that upper body strength and that core strength. And also just like the having, you know, no fear, just like I think it gave myself my body, like how to control my body while I'm in the air. So gymnastics definitely helped. It gives you the strength and just like the self-control.
What about the psychology side of it? I mean, you're talking to somebody that's like afraid of heights, so like I'm not the right person to ask this question, but I saw like even on your LinkedIn you're talking about being drawn to sports where you're like flying through the air and the metaphors that involves. I mean, just kind of describe for us like how you've landed there.
I you know, sometimes I'll like look back at videos that my parents took when we were like little kids, and I'm always the one that's just like flailing my body on the ground doing somersaults. Like there's this one like specific video I can think of my sisters, like they're singing and I'm just in the background, just like rolling on the ground, like flinging my body. And I think, and like my parents always said, like when I was in soccer, they're like, you just like to dive into the mud more than you actually like to, you know, play the game. And it's like, I think I just have fun doing those types of things with my, just flinging myself in the air. I don't even know how to describe it, but like sports that involved like objects, like round objects, I'm not, you know, good at those. But when it comes to flinging myself in the air or something, I find it easier.
Do you remember the first time you actually got over the bar?
Yes, I remember it was in middle school and I cleared 7 feet, which most college men can high jump, you know, that's not very high.
So how long is the pole when you're in seventh grade?
You know, I want to say it's still about like 11 feet, but you don't hold, you know, you hold lower on it.
So you actually, but you cleared it. I mean, what kind of reaction are you going over when you actually get over the bar?
I mean, at that time, at that age, I was just happy to be there, happy that I could do this cool event at this one meet. You know, I think now, you know, as you're coming down, you see the bar and you're just thinking in your head, please stand, please stand, please stand. And I just love, like, I don't know how to describe it, but whenever you like land on the pit on your back and you look up and it's still up there and you're like, yes, like, I don't know. Yeah, it's crazy. I can't even like, I don't even know what it, whenever I'm pole vaulting or when I did gymnastics, like I feel like it's just black. Like I don't see anything, you know? And then eventually I'm on my back and I'm like, oh, the bar stayed up.
When did you realize that track or pole vaulting might be something you'd do beyond high school?
I think, you know, my freshman year of high school, I ended up having a really good season for a freshman. You know, I qualified to regionals in high school. It goes, you know, districts, regionals, states. And I had qualified to regionals my freshman year. And I was like, you know, kind of like surprised with myself, happy with myself. And then sophomore year is when like COVID happened and stuff. So I didn't have a season. And so I was like, this is my junior year. It's kind of when you start recruiting, looking, you know, at some colleges. And I went through a bit of like a back injury. And so that made it harder for me to do gymnastics and kind of made me more drawn to pole vault because it hurt less when I was pole vaulting than doing gymnastics. And, you know, I kind of thought like with this back injury, there's no way I can do gymnastics for 4 more years after college. And so with pole vault, I found myself enjoying it. I'd say I'd started to enjoy it more than going to gymnastics practice. And I think my junior year, you know, I also had a really good year. That year I qualified and placed at states. And that's when I decided, you know, I'm going to really look into doing this out after I graduate.
All right, walk us through it. You grab the pole. I have no idea how far. you all run forever, I feel like, with that thing in your hand. But
yeah.
Just walk us through how many steps, like your thought process when you got to make sure that the pole gets where it needs to. Just step by step.
You know, there's kind of a lot that goes into it that I feel like some people don't know. Like there's all these different poles. There's different brands, and each one has a weight and a flex number and a height. So, you know, if I say I'm on a 13-140, that means that means I'm on a 13-foot pole. That's for a 140-pound person, but you know, I go on like a hundred. I go like the higher the pound, like the stiffer the pole is. I said 13-140 because that's my favorite pole. But and then there's like flex numbers too. So you could have both 13-140s, but one has a softer flex number and one has a stiffer flex number. So there's a lot that goes into it because, you know, I have this pole. Once I get comfortable on it and I'm like, I finally get used to it, it's like, oh, now you got to go up to a bigger stick and then you're uncomfortable again and then you're trying to get used to it again. So every time you get comfortable and you're like, oh, yeah, then it's time to move up to a bigger stick. And so it is a bit challenging because, you know, it's always changing. And then, you know, the bar is always getting higher. But so you have to first decide what pole you're going to start on. So that's always kind of like my biggest thing. Like, you know, that's what you decide in warm-ups, how your warm-ups went. Okay, I had a bit of a rough jump, so I'm going to start on a smaller pole. Or, you know, if you had a better warm-up, then you go on a bigger pole. And so that's where you kind of start.
So there's a lot more to it than just running, screaming down the lane.
Yeah.
All right, so you've got the pole. You've picked out what you want. Now you're running down the lane. What's going through your head?
So most people count when they run. I just can't multitask like that. So I don't count. But I think with like gymnastics, you know, like the event vault, you know, I didn't count my steps when I vaulted in gymnastics. I just like knew where I was at. And so I think with that, that helped me with pole vault and I don't need to count my steps. I just kind of know. And obviously the closer you get to the pit, you know, you're dropping your pole, it's getting, and there's different angles. It should be at about like a 45 degree angle when you're at like your third to last step. You know, there's like, I don't really think technical like that. And that might be part of the problem of some things, but, I think with gymnastics, it gave me that like natural feel of like, when to start dropping the pole. But yeah, the closer you get, you're gradually just dropping that pole for it to eventually get into, there's like a box. And then, you know, it is a jumping event, but sometimes I forget, like I still need to jump, you know? And so I have to remind myself, like I still have to actually jump. The pole can't just take me up there. And so you do jump off of like one leg. And I've had trouble with my arms before too. You're supposed to keep your arms like straight, not bend them. So, you know, there's a lot going through your head and people, pole vaulters will sometimes have like cues before, like some might be like jump row, invert, like, you know, like there's like words that you have. So sometimes I think of like specific words that help me because it just goes by so fast, you know? So you plant the pole. And then I just close my eyes and no. And then
I'm fascinated. There's so much to it. All right, so you're.
I think I would be really good at this. I mean,
outside of
not being able to run, not being able to jump, being afraid of heights, everything else that she just said, like, it sounds like right up my alley.
So, I've been to a couple college meets, but not a ton. How high is the bar, like on your first run?
Well, so there's like another thing at meets, you know, there's starting heights and stuff. Some meets, like the lowest they'll start is 12 feet. So you have to start at 12 feet. I remember my freshman year, the lowest height was 11.6. And like that now I like start at 12 feet, you know, but at the time I was like, oh my gosh, I have to start at 11.6. And like, you know, you're afraid you're going to no height or, But it's actually, I kind of like whenever you're kind of forced to start higher. Wait, what was the question?
So you answered it. Just how high is the bar? I guess my follow-up question to that is, though, it's 12 feet in the air. You're leaning over the bar. You're, like, pushing your pole away, right? So you're landing. I don't know. I'd probably pee my pants. I don't know how you do that and stay calm and think about all the things that you're going through.
Yeah. No, it's a lot of fun. Each meet, it sometimes progresses differently. Like, sometimes they'll go up 6 inches, sometimes they go up 4 inches. Or, you know, if you're the only one left, you actually get to pick what height you want to go to. So it's kind of nice if you've won and you're the last one, they're like, all right, where do you want to put the bar? And you can kind of choose. So that's always fun.
Zooming out a little bit, I mean, you're a senior now, getting ready for indoor season in Indianapolis in a few days to kind of get it started. What are your favorite memories so far of your career? Just kind of like, if you look back and, you know, 3 years down and what you're looking forward to as a senior.
There are some specific meets I do love going to. Specifically, I love our Nashville meet we always go to. That one's just so fun. I love the environment. Sadly, we're not going to that one this year, but we have every other year. I've made some really fun memories there. And then just going, I remember we went to Wake Forest last year, and that was so fun. Afterwards, there was, like, this festival going on outside of the hotel. They had, like, the streets closed, and me and my teammates and my coach came, and we got cheesecake, and we went, and just, it was so fun. I think just, like, I love just, like, being with my teammates, being with my coaches, and hanging outside of practice. I think some of my just best memories are even just, like, watching my teammates, cheering them on. I think I love, like, when someone gets a PR or they do well, like, just celebrating them. It's so fun to watch someone and just, like, celebrate them. It's just so fun. Another memory is I had a lot of fun at the MAC meet last year. That's a core memory. I had to have a jump off with a girl from Akron, and those are always really nerve-wracking, but that was so fun. All my teammates were watching me and cheering, and we had to have a jump off for first place, and that one was just a lot of fun, and it just went back. It went on for probably like 35 minutes because I'd clear it, then she'd clear it, and then we'd start over, and then, like, she'd miss, then I'd miss, and then we'd start over, and then, oh, we both clear it, you know. That went on forever, but, like, the energy was just so high. Everyone was cheering. So I just think, like, I just have so many good memories. But just hanging out with my team and just getting to watch them perform and cheer them
on. At Max, you've had some success. Mm-hmm. Those that don't know, you go at the end, if you finish in the top seven, right, you go to the podium, you get a medal, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
We have a nice picture from one of our media days, right here. Just one with you with a bunch of medals. What's it like when you're on a podium and somebody's putting a medal on you? It's like Star Wars when they blow up the Death Star and they get their medals.
Yeah, it is. It is a great feeling. I do have that awkward moment, though, where I'm like, am I supposed to grab it and put it on? Or do they put it, you know, I never know. But, yeah. Every time I go into a meet is to get top three. That's always just my goal. But yeah, it's great.
We were doing a little research for this podcast and talking to one of your teammates, and she said that she will never forget getting to know you freshman year playing Two Truths and a Lie because your truths were like mind blowing to the point that no one would believe them.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to ask this. So I'm just going to say, like, one of them was that your house had a fire before you came to Miami. Like, kind of what is the story with that?
The story is, so it was my junior year of high school, and that night my neighbors and my sister were going to the casino to celebrate my sister's 21st. I was hanging out with my cousin at her house, having a sleepover. My other sister was home, but she was just kind of in and out, going on drives, meeting up with friends, whatever. And I am in the Chick-fil-A drive-thru line. And I get a text from my neighbor down the street who also, her house, she had a house fire about a year and a half before that.
You might well want to get your electricity checked or something.
She texts me, hey, are you okay down there? And then I get a text from my sister's boyfriend at the time, and he's like, hey, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm great, about to get Chick-fil-A. And then I was like, I better call my sister, the one who's home. So I call her. She doesn't answer. And I'm like, okay. And so I was like, I'll call my mom. And so I call my mom, but my older sister answers. And she's a bit distraught on the phone, you know. And she's like, our house got burnt down, whatever, you know. And I'm just like, I don't know. My cousin is next to me, and she's like, "What? What is she saying?" But then I have to order my food.
Oh, of course.
So I'm crying, and I'm just like, "Can I have the 12-piece nugget and large fry?" And then my mom takes the phone from my sister, and she's like, "It's fine." You know, trying to calm me down. She's like, "Honestly, I would just go back to your." Her name's Julia. I would go back to Julia's house. I was like, no, I want to see. So I drive to my house. It's only like 5 minutes away. And I live in a cul-de-sac. I can't even like pull into the cul-de-sac because there's just ambulance and police and cars just like lined up. So I park down the street and I walk down and I just, you know, see the scene. And there were, you don't realize how many people like chase the like there was all these just random people
bystanders
there,
basically, like just to
asking me like at reporters or like what happened. And there's just like some crazy people trying to start fights, and it's like and I'm just like, who are you people? What are you doing? You know, and so we ended up. It was a chemical combustion. Crazy. It started in me and my sister's bathroom, like underneath the sink. And there was just, I don't know, two products created a chemical reaction.
Unreal.
No one was home to stop it. But my sister, my middle sister, she got home and she walked in and saw all the smoke and, you know, the flames upstairs and everything. And she said, like, the smoke was so thick that she, like, couldn't even see her hand in front of her. And so she – we have a dog. So she ran up, grabbed the dog, got out of there. And then I think someone had already seen and called the fire department. But, yeah, and so everyone was okay, you know. And we ended up being out of our house for about a year. We lived in a rental home for 6 months because they said it would be ready in 6 months, but it wasn't. So then I got to live with my cousin Julia for a few months, which was – she actually goes to Miami too. But, yeah, she's one of my best friends. So that was honestly fun getting to live with her. kind of prepared me for college, you know, having a roommate.
I think I read somewhere that you know Taylor Swift or you've been to her house or something. Is this a real thing?
It is real. Yeah, I'm a big Taylor Swift fan. And so basically she does these things called secret sessions. She doesn't do them anymore. Mine was actually the last one she ever did. But it was in 2017 in October. And so secret sessions are, she'll invite about 30 or so people to her home to listen to her album before it releases. So I got to listen to her Reputation album a month before it released. And she like hand selects people. And the embarrassing part of the story is that, do you know Tumblr? It's the social media. No one uses it anymore. But me and my sister had a Tumblr fan account, Taylor Swift fan account. And it was pretty popular, and she had commented on our posts, like posted something and she was like, haha, this is so funny. I woke the cats up laughing, you know. And I remember my sister comes to my room. She's like, oh, my gosh, Taylor Swift commented on our post, whatever. And so then it's like the next day or day later, I was in eighth grade. So I took the bus home at that time. And my sisters text me and they're like, we're going to pick you up from school. We're getting ice cream. And I was like, oh, great. And I told my friends, like, I don't have to ride the bus. I'm getting ice cream. And I get into the car. And I just remember they both, like, turn around. And they're like, Emily, you can't tell anybody this. And I'm like, what? And they're like, Taylor Swift. Well, technically, so it's Taylor Nation. They are, like, kind of managers, whatever. They're like, Taylor Nation DM'd us and said that Taylor Swift wanted to meet us. And asked if we could make it to Nashville in 2 days for her secret session. And
that's when you're like, no, I've got a middle school track meet. I don't think I can make it work.
My house is going to burn that, down.
That day, it's actually funny. I was supposed to get my teeth pulled. So I had already told my friends, oh, I won't be at school on Wednesday. I am getting my teeth pulled. And so it was kind of perfect because they already knew I wasn't going to be at school on Wednesday because this was on a Monday when I found out. And I was like, oh, perfect. They'll just think I'm at my dentist. But then my friend saw my location. She's like, why are you at Nashville for your dentist? I'm like, only the best. Had to get the best dentist. But you couldn't tell anyone where you were going. It was strictly you cannot say anything because they don't want people following you or this, you know, just for safety reasons. If you're under 18, you have to bring an adult. And my sister was 17. And so luckily, then she got to go. And so we were like, Mom, can you drive us to Nashville tonight? Then you had to, like, meet in this, like, secret location. And then they put you on buses. And I...
like, blindfolded or something?
I want to say I don't think we could see out the window or at a point, you know. But I just... on the bus right there, they give you, like... ground rules too. You have like a little meeting before, they take your phone, everything. But everyone on the bus is just so happy. We're all singing Taylor Swift. We're just happy to be there. And then we pull into her home and we see we actually saw her peeking out the window, and then the bus was pulling in and everyone was like, oh my gosh. And so then she had food for us. So we were in her backyard, like by the pool area, and this is technically her parents' house, but her parents have a dog named Kitty. And so it's like this great big dog. And I was just like petting her dog, which is like interesting. And then her parents came out while we were eating and her parents are talking to us. And her dad is just passing out guitar picks to everyone. I have like 20 guitar picks. And we're talking to her parents and we're just talking to all the other people and we're eating food. So we were out there for, I don't know, 30, 45 minutes, just talking to each other, eating. And then we finally got to go inside. And you can actually, like, if you look up on, you can look up on YouTube, like, Reputation Secret Sessions. And she made a little YouTube video and you can see like clips. But we are sitting in her, in this one room, and she comes in. And it's just so unreal. Like, I'm like, you're standing a few feet away from me. Is this, you know, this is just insane. Like, 2 days ago, I wasn't even planning on doing this. I was going to get my teeth pulled. And this is so much better. And so, yeah, she comes in and this one girl was kind of a bit of like an anxiety attack thing. And she's like, hold on, wait. Like, and she goes over to the girl and she's like, you're Caitlin, right? And everyone just, like, lost their minds. They're like, how does she remember her name, you know? And then she played her songs for us on the Reputation album. And I remember trying so hard to, like, remember them. But, like, by the end of it, I was like, I already forget the songs. And I was like, you know. And then we had, like, a little dance party. She passed around her merch. And she just kind of, like, explained each song. I'm just sitting, like, we're all just sitting there, and she's just in a chair. Just, it is just so unreal. And then afterwards, you get 10 minutes, like, one-on-one with her to take a picture and just talk to her excuse me, and just talk to her. So we waited our turn, and then I remember she knew everyone's name. I walk in, and she's like, "Emily, Katrina, I'm so glad you could make it last minute." And she's like, "Katrina, I saw your homecoming photos with you and all your friends. You're so pretty."
That's awesome.
And she's like, "Emily, I saw your gymnastics videos. You're so good." And I'm just trying like not to faint, you know? Like, how did she even see these? But she like knew a little fact about everyone, which I thought was super cool. And she knew everyone's names. And then I remember for my picture, she's like, "What do you want to do for our picture?" I held her Grammy. So I got to hold her Grammy in our picture. And then my sister sat at the piano with her. And we were actually lucky. So it's usually just one photo, one and done. But because my mom was there, she's like, "Let's do a group photo." So I actually got two photos.
I was going to ask when the story started, if you don't have your phones, do you get a picture or whatever? Because otherwise, this is one of those, like, yeah, the story's so good that people wouldn't actually believe that
right.
happened.
I remember coming to school after that the next day and posting those online, and everyone's like, "Those are photoshopped. Her head's tilted the same in both photos."
AI wasn't around back then, right?
Thank gosh, because no one would have believed me. And so, yeah, that is pretty much my Taylor Swift story.
I don't know how I have more track questions, but I don't know how you can like switch gears after that.
My life is so boring. Well,
so you have 3 meets in the next month or so at the Indiana State Fairgrounds area, right? Like, you open up in Indianapolis, but you go back there a couple times. Mm-hmm. So every week on the podcast, we like to play a game and pit our guest against Dave.
Yeah.
And I decided, since you're both from Northern Ohio originally, that we would do Indiana State Fair questions in honor of your trips to Indianapolis. That way nobody has an advantage. Does that make sense? Sound good?
Sure.
Great. Okay. So we're going to play over under, and basically all you have to do is we'll go back and forth, because Dave gets really mad if he always has to go first.
Fair.
And guess the number that you think makes the most sense, whether a year or a dollar amount or whatever, and then the other person just has to decide if they want to be above or below to be closer to the actual one. So nobody's supposed to get this for real.
Okay.
And we'll just
so you know, I'm on a 1-game win streak, so the pressure's on.
Yeah, he's like 2-14. Yeah. So
okay.
Who wants to go first?
Ladies first.
Emily, when was the first Indiana State Fair held?
Oh. 1960.
That's got to be earlier than that, right?
1852.
Oh, 1-0.
Wow.
Point for Dave.
We're playing to 2.
Okay.
So I was surprised you didn't say 1. How many times has the Indiana State Fair been held at the fairgrounds in Indianapolis?
120 years.
More or less than 120 times?
More.
115. But it says more than, so I almost want to call that a tie. I don't know.
No, 2-0.
How many days away is the next Indiana State Fair from when this podcast will come out?
4.
More or less than 4?
4 days? Is it really that close? It's got to be after, later.
210, because it's in the summer.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
We talked about merch with Taylor, so we'll do fair merch. How much was the most expensive T-shirt on the fair website cost if you wanted to order? Not like a special limited edition, just you want to go buy a fair shirt online. How much does a T-shirt cost?
I was going to say $67 just to be funny, but how about $54?
Less or more than $54 for the fair T-shirt?
Less.
$28.
Oh, that's a good deal.
How much does daily admission cost at the Indiana State Fair?
15.
More or less?
Less.
16.
Oh, that was a good guess.
Yeah. The Indiana State Fair Queen visits 50 counties over June and July to promote the fair. Approximately how many miles would she travel to do that?
I have no idea.
That's why we're playing this game.
600.
More or less than 600 miles?
Less.
Approximately 10,000.
Oh.
How many pounds was the 2025 giant pumpkin at the Indiana State Fair?
250.
More or less than 250 pounds for the giant pumpkin?
It's a giant pumpkin, so it's got to be more.
1,323 pounds. Wow. That's crazy.
1,000-pound pumpkin?
Wow. No, 1,323.
Oh, my bad.
What year did the Beatles perform at the Indiana State Fair?
1967.
Before or after 1967?
Before.
1964.
What's the score over here?
5-3.
How many are we
so
done yet?
Maybe two
done?
Questions left.
All right, fine.
Your turn to go first, I think. 2025 marked the 19th annual Grand Cheese Sculpture at the fair. How many pounds of cheese were used in the cheese sculpture?
Eight 800.
More or less than an 800-pound cheese sculpture?
More.
1,600.
That's a lot of cheese.
Yeah.
And then how many hours of work did it take the sculptor and her team to fashion that sculpture?
How many hours?
A 1,600-pound sculpture.
Yeah, let's go 120.
More or less than 120 hours work?
More.
285. There you go. You now know. So when
cheese sculpture.
Just think that next few weeks when you go to the Indiana State Fairgrounds and you can like tell your teammates like you know, oh, the cheese sculpture. Like I know all about that. You'll know all the trivia.
Yeah.
I have no idea how he comes up with these questions.
Yeah.
We're digging into the bottom barrel. Last one though, kind of like to end with something serious.
Okay.
So, putting the cheese and pumpkins aside, you're going into your senior seasons, indoor outdoor. If you could go back and tell freshman you something, give a piece of advice or whatever it is coming into Miami, not knowing kind of what was in front of you, what would you tell you?
I would tell myself, you know, this sounds kind of just like simple, but just to like have fun with it. I think, you know, a lot of the times when you've been doing a sport for a while or things like that, I feel like, you know, you forget, like, this is supposed to add to my enjoyment, you know, not drain it. So I would just say, like, have fun with it. Enjoy it. Don't take it so seriously. Because, you know, I think you not only will have more fun, but you just perform better. I found that I perform better whenever I just enjoy it. And just I would just tell her, to just not take it so seriously and just have fun with it.
All right, Emily, I think that's all we got. Unless you have a Taylor Swift autograph you can give me, we can get you out of here.
If you did, you know that he would put it on eBay, so it would not. I would tell you.
That's please, at home.
Please don't do that.
Bring that with me.
Thanks for being here. We will be back next week with another new edition of Red Hawk Rewind.